everybody. It's Wednesday. I'm Matthew Laria, and you're watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Let's pray and release faith over today's broadcast, and then we're going to get right into the Word. Father, we do thank you again today, Lord, for your Word. Lord, we love your Word. It is so precious to us. And Lord, we're asking you today for revelation of it. We ask you today for grace and help to receive your Word and to put it into practice and to see it work and produce in our lives. And we do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all this week on the broadcast, we've been doing a series of teachings entitled The Dream Killer. And we're learning about walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. And friend, what we found out is that the flesh is a dream killer. It will kill and destroy every dream that God has for you. On yesterday's broadcast, we found out that sowing to the flesh will cause us to reap corruption and destruction in our lives. And so let's go back over to Galatians chapter 5 again. Let's read our foundation text there in verse 16. And it says there, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, friend, I believe that you can see how vitally important it is that you and I get our flesh under control. If we don't, we are going to miss out on the good plans and the good dreams and the good desires that God has for us. And if we don't get our flesh under and sow to the flesh, we are going to experience destruction in our lives. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8 today. Romans chapter 8. And I want to look at a verse there in verse 12. And it says this, "Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." And so again, you can see from that verse that there are consequences and there is a lot on the line when it comes to walking in the flesh. That verse said that if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. What does that mean? It's not just talking about dying physically. It's talking about experiencing the effects and the results of death in your life, destruction and decay in every area. And so you can see that living in the flesh as a way of life will cause problems. Friend, I'm not just talking about, you know, you make a mistake one day and you get in the flesh and so now your life's just going to be overtaken by death and destruction. We're not talking about that. We're talking about believers who are going to live and walk in the flesh as a lifestyle. In other words, they're being governed and dictated by the flesh, and they're not endeavoring to repent or change at all. Living like that, that way of life, will cause you problems. And so again, you can see that we must get our flesh under control. Romans 8:13 says this, it says, "If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." The Amplified Bible says, "If through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the evil disease, the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever." That word to mortify means to subdue or to bring into subjection. And so you can see from that verse that the deeds of the body can be subdued. And here's the thing, friend, we can control our flesh instead of being controlled by the flesh. That verse told us that we could mortify the deeds of the body. What does that mean? We can subdue the deeds of the body and bring them into subjection. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, it says this, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." Affections means emotion and lust means desire. Now, what did that verse say? It said we can crucify the flesh. That word crucify also means to subdue. And so the flesh can be subdued. The desires of the flesh, the emotions and feelings of the flesh, they can be subdued. We can control our flesh and not be controlled by our flesh. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:26. He said, I keep my body under and I bring it into subjection. The word subjection there means I enslave it. And so again, our flesh can be kept under and it can be brought into subjection. It can be enslaved. In other words, we're not the slave of what our flesh wants, but we are bringing our flesh into subjection. We have brought it under our authority. We have brought it under our power. We have brought it under our control. Come on, friends, say it with me as you're watching the broadcast. I don't have to be controlled by my flesh. Let's say it again. I don't have to be controlled by my flesh. I can subdue it. I can bring my flesh under. And so it's vitally important that you lay hold of that truth, that I can control my flesh and that I don't have to be controlled by my flesh. Come on, this is the first thing we have to understand in getting our flesh under control. And we must get our flesh under control because there's a lot on the line if we don't. Dreams that God has for us can be missed out on. Destruction and corruption can be experienced in our lives. And so the flesh must be brought under control. We must get our flesh under control. And one of the first things that you have to understand in getting your flesh under control is that you don't have to do what your flesh wants to do. Come on, say that with me. I don't have to do what my flesh wants to do. I can control my flesh and not be controlled by my flesh. I can crucify my flesh. I can keep my body under. I can mortify and subdue the deeds of my body. I don't have to do what my flesh wants to do. Now, we need to acknowledge that the desires and the feelings of the flesh are real and they can be strong. They can be very strong, but we don't have to give in. Come on, friend, have you ever had a desire of the flesh try to come up and rise up within you and come on you? Have you ever had a carnal desire, a desire for something that's not godly, and it comes on you? And friend, it can be strong and it's real. But just because you have that desire, and just because that desire is real, and just because it's strong, doesn't mean that you have to give in to it. Now, why am I saying this? Because it can feel like when a fleshy desire tries to come on you, it can feel like that you can't help it but to give in to it. And that's a lie. You don't have to give in to these desires of the flesh. They may be trying to come on you. They may be strong, but you can say no to your flesh. And here's one of the big reasons why you can say no. Hebrews 2:18 says this, for in that he, Jesus himself, suffered being tempted. Now here's the thing. Jesus was tempted to sin. Hebrews 4, we're going to read it in a second, says he was tempted in all points like as we are. And so he was God, but he was also man. And so he had to deal with desires that weren't right. The enemy was trying to inspire him to sin and do wrong, and he had to deal with these things as well. And it says that for in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted, to aid them, to relieve them that are tempted. And so here's why you don't have to give in when you're tempted by the desires of the flesh. Jesus will help you. Now, what about Jesus? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, It said that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so the one that never gave in to the flesh, the one that never gave in to a carnal desire of the flesh, the one that resisted it every time, that guy, Jesus, he is the one that will help you to not give in when you are tempted by the desires and the lust of the flesh. Come on, the one that never gave in, he is ready and willing to help you to not give in to the flesh. And so just because you have a carnal desire, and maybe it's strong, that doesn't mean you have to give in. Come on, when those desires come on you, friend, you need to quote this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to give in to the flesh. I don't have to bow my knee to the desires of the flesh. The one who was tempted, just like I'm being tempted right now, and never gave in, he is helping me. He is strengthening me. He is giving me grace to resist every temptation of the flesh that tries to attack me and come against me, and so I don't have to give in to the flesh. Come on, friend, are you seeing how we need to respond when the desires of the flesh try to take hold of us? It needs to be real to you that Jesus will help you, he'll strengthen you, he'll give you grace, and you don't have to give in. This is good news, isn't it? Now, as we're closing today's broadcast, I want to remind you of these three things. Number one, it's vitally important that we get our flesh under control. Why? It's a dream killer. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. Number two, we can control our flesh and not be controlled by it. We can crucify our flesh. We can keep our bodies under. We can mortify the deeds of our bodies. And then number three, the first thing that we must understand in getting our flesh under control is that we don't have to do what our flesh wants. We can say no to the flesh. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for giving us the grace and the strength and the ability to not give in to our flesh. And Lord, we just release our faith today and we make a decision to crucify our flesh, to mortify the deeds of our body, and to bring our body under and to bring it into subjection to the desires and the promptings and the leadings of your Spirit. We declare in faith today that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we can say no to the desires of the flesh. And Father, we do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, thank you so much for watching today's broadcast. Now, don't forget to come back tomorrow for Thursday's edition of our Faith for Life broadcast, and we're going to continue this series entitled The Dream Killer. We'll see you then.